Hey there. So it seems like you guys are really interested in getting a deeper look into open source AI, and especially all the anxieties around it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
especially when it comes to those models coming out of China.
Exactly.
Or have.
Like, are those fears actually like legitimate, or are we just, caught up in the hype?
Right.
Well, we're going to try to unpack all of that today.
Yeah.
This article, it's called DeepSeek ChatGPT Unco. For Tyler, getting open source KI fact in check. Some Sicherheitsrisiko in China bashing by Oliver Welling.
Right.
And it was published on January 29th, 2025.
Okay.
It's just a few days ago.
Very recent.
Yeah, and what I really appreciate about this article is that it's not just, focusing on all the potential like downsides or whatever of open source AI.
Right.
It's actually sort of making us question our assumptions about the proprietary models.
Like ChatGPT.
Yeah, ChatGPT, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, where do those risks actually lie?
Yeah, for sure. It's not just about saying, oh, open source is bad. It's really about getting a clearer picture of the whole AI landscape, both open source and proprietary.
Yeah, so I guess the big question is, are those fears about open source AI, and specifically models from China, like, are they actually real, or is there more hype than substance there?
Right.
And then even further, is open source truly, more vulnerable? What about the implications for data privacy?
Especially with the cloud versus, using it locally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I guess the biggest one, what's the real story with China's involvement in all of this?
Right. This is a loaded question.
It is very loaded, but we're going to try to unpack all that today. So get ready, we're going deep.
Let's do it.
All right, so I guess one of the biggest like, anxieties around open source AI is this idea that it's just like inherently less secure.
Yeah, you hear that a lot.
Right. And this article kind of challenges that notion from the start.
Yeah, it compares how security is tackled in both open source and proprietary. And it turns out they're actually pretty different.
Oh, really? Okay. I'm interested to hear more about those differences.
Well, with proprietary models, a lot of times they rely on what's called security through obscurity. Basically, they keep their code hidden and they assume that that makes it tougher for people with bad intentions to exploit any vulnerabilities.
So it's kind of like stashing your valuables in this like super secret compartment, thinking that nobody will find it, so it must be safe.
Right.
But like, what if the compartment itself isn't even secure?
Exactly. And that's what the article points out. This lack of transparency can be a real problem. While it might make it harder for the bad guys to find weaknesses, it also makes it incredibly difficult for like independent experts to check for any backdoors or problems in the code.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Because who's going to find those flaws if nobody outside the company can even see the code?
Right. It's like a black box.
Yeah, totally. And that's where I think that whole like many eyes advantage of open source comes in, right?
Exactly. The article makes this point that with open source, you have this global community of experts who can look at the code, spot those vulnerabilities, and then work together to fix them.
It's like having this massive team of security specialists who are constantly on patrol looking for any little crack in the armor.
Right. And because of that, problems can be found and fixed much faster than in closed systems.
That makes a lot of sense. But what about that whole issue of like manipulated forks? Where somebody with bad intentions takes that open source code and then they modify it and, kind of create like a backdoor or something and then they distribute it.
Yeah, that's a valid concern for sure. But well-managed projects, they actually have these safeguards in place to protect the code and make sure that, everything stays on the up and up.
So it's kind of like a system of checks and balances within the community itself.
Exactly. There's this really thorough review process, and the community is very good at spotting anything that seems fishy.
Wow. Okay, so it's not as simple as saying, oh, open source is automatically less secure, right?
Right. There's a lot more to it than that.
Okay, yeah, there's definitely more nuance there. Now let's talk about bias in AI. This article makes it super clear that bias is like a universal problem. It's not just a China thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The training data is where that bias comes from. Whether it's open source or proprietary, it doesn't matter.
Because the AI can only be as good as the information it's learning from, right?
Right.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly. But then how does that play out differently in open source versus proprietary models?
Well, one thing the article brings up is that the data used to train those proprietary models is often like a big secret.
It's like their secret sauce.
Exactly. And that makes it really hard for anyone outside the company to figure out what biases might be hidden in there.
And that makes you wonder, right? Like, are there hidden agendas or biases that we're not even aware of?
Right. And a lot of people are worried that proprietary models, especially those from big US companies, they might have a US or Western bias just because of where they're developed and the data they're likely using. Yeah. That makes sense. But then the article kind of flips the script and says, okay, but there are also concerns about potential Chinese bias in open source models coming from China.
Yeah.
So are we just swapping one bias for another?
That's the worry, but the article's point is that any kind of bias, regardless of where it comes from, can be a problem.
Right. It's not about pointing fingers at specific countries.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that this is a problem that exists and we need to figure out how to fix it.
Exactly.
So it seems like transparency is super important here.
Yeah.
If we don't even know what data was used to train these models, how can we even begin to address the bias?
Exactly. You can't fix what you can't see.
Right. And the article talks about this idea of alignment bias.
Yeah. Basically, that means if only a small group of companies control how AI is developed, then those systems are only going to reflect their values and priorities.
So it's like a filter bubble, but on a societal scale.
Right. And that might not be what's best for everyone.
So how does open source address this?
Well, open source can break down that filter bubble by allowing a wider range of developers and perspectives to contribute. It's about democratizing AI and making sure it reflects more than just the interests of a few big companies.
And that's where models like Meta's Llama 3 and Falcon 180B come in, right?
Exactly. They're showing that open source can compete with the big guys.
That's so cool. It's like shaking up the AI world and saying, hey, there's another way to do this.
Right.
So let's shift gears a bit and talk about data privacy.
Okay.
This is a huge topic these days, and it seems like open source might actually have a real advantage here, especially when you consider using it locally.
Yeah, that's a big one.
So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, the article points out that with these proprietary cloud services like ChatGPT, your data is stored and processed on their servers. And a lot of times that means in the U.S. And that raises some real questions about privacy, especially for people in Europe who are under GDPR.
Yeah, because you don't really have control over what happens to your data once it's on their servers.
Right. And you have to trust that they're handling it responsibly, and that's not always a guarantee.
So how does open source offer a different approach?
With open source, you can run the model locally, meaning it's right on your own device or server. Your data never has to leave your control. No cloud uploads, no sharing with third parties. You have total control over your data.
So no more worrying about your data ending up in some random server farm somewhere.
Exactly. You're in charge.
Okay, I like that. But wouldn't using an open source model from China still mean my data is somehow flowing back to China?
That's a myth the article addresses pretty clearly. If you're using it locally, your data stays local, period. Of course, open source developers still need to follow those data privacy rules. Mm. But the fact that you can run these models locally gives you a level of control that you just don't get with those cloud-based proprietary models.
So you get the power of AI with the peace of mind, knowing that your data is safe and sound right there with you.
Right. It's the best of both worlds.
I love that. Okay, so another big concern is government access to these AI systems. Is that a bigger risk with open source or proprietary models?
That's a tough one.
Yeah, it feels like a loaded question.
It is. The article actually says that government access is something to worry about on both sides.
So it's not just a China problem, as some people like to say.
Exactly. They explain how the Cloud Act in the U.S. gives the government power to get data from U.S. companies, even if their servers are in Europe. And then you have China's national security law, which basically forces organizations to cooperate with state security.
So it seems like both countries have ways to get access to these systems and the data.
Right. The article really pushes us to recognize that these risks exist on both sides and not just focus on one country or the other.
Okay, so it's about being realistic and understanding the complexities of the situation.
Exactly.
Now, the article also dives into this whole economic and geopolitical side of things and how that can influence the way we see open source AI, particularly models coming from China.
Yeah, it's definitely not just about the technology itself.
Right. It seems like there are other forces at play here. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, the article argues that some of the negativity towards open source, especially models from China, could be coming from those who want to protect the current AI market leaders, which are mostly these big U.S. companies.
Because open source has the potential to disrupt the whole market, right?
Exactly. It makes AI more accessible to smaller companies, researchers, you name it. And that could threaten the profits and control of the big players.
So basically, painting open source as this scary, dangerous thing could be a tactic to maintain control.
It's definitely a possibility that the article brings up. And they also talk about how all the China bashing we see plays into the tension between the US and China when it comes to tech. It's like using fear to gain an edge in the AI race.
It's crazy how intertwined technology and politics have become, right?
It really is.
But let's get back to the good stuff.
Okay.
What about all the amazing benefits of open source AI? The article lays out a ton of them, and I have to say they're pretty compelling.
They are.
Like, we've got transparency, auditability, enhanced security through all those many eyes, customization, flexibility, local use data, sovereignty, cost savings, fostering innovation, competition, independence from a single vendor community, support long-term availability.
Wow, that was quite a
I
list.
know, right? They get excited.
It's a powerful set of advantages, and it really highlights how open source offers a whole different way of thinking about and developing AI.
Okay, so even with all these benefits, I'm sure there's some people listening who are like, okay, this all sounds amazing, but how do I actually choose between open source and proprietary AI? Like, what's the right choice for me?
Right. Well, the article provides a helpful framework for making that decision.
Oh, perfect. Tell me more about that.
Well, first, you need to really think about your specific needs. What are you going to be using the AI for? What kind of performance do you need? What level of customization and flexibility do you require?
So basically, figure out exactly what you need the AI to do.
Exactly. Once you've got that figured out, then you need to think about data privacy. How sensitive is your data?
No.
What kind of regulations do you have to comply with? Is local processing absolutely essential?
Because data privacy is a big deal.
It is huge. And with open source, you have more options for keeping your data safe and secure.
Okay. What else should we be considering?
Security, of course. What are the risks involved with your specific use case? How important is it to you to have that transparency and be able to independently audit the system?
So basically, don't just assume that one approach is automatically more secure than the other.
Right. Think about the specific risks you're facing and choose the approach that best addresses those.
Okay, that makes sense. Now let's talk about the practical stuff.
Okay.
What about budget?
Budget's always a factor, right? You got to figure out what you can realistically afford in terms of software infrastructure, licensing, all of that.
Yeah, because those costs can add up quickly.
They can.
So be realistic about your financial limitations.
And choose an option that fits within your budget.
Okay, and what about the technical side of things?
Well, you need to assess your own technical expertise. Do you have the skills in-house to manage an open source model? Or do you need a more plug-and-play cloud solution?
Because open source might require a bit more technical know-how, right?
It can. So you need to be honest about your capabilities and if you're willing to partner with experts if necessary.
Okay, that's good advice. Anything else we should be thinking about?
Think about vendor dependence. Do you want the freedom to switch providers or modify the model if you need to? Or are you okay with being tied to one specific vendor? That's a choice you need to make.
That's a really good point. It's about control and flexibility.
Exactly.
So after considering all of these factors, how do we actually make the final decision?
Well, the article says there's no one-size-fits-all answer. The best choice really depends on your individual needs and priorities.
And I love that. It's about empowering people to make informed decisions based on their unique situation, not just following the hype.
Absolutely.
And you know what else I found really interesting in the article?
What's that?
They have this prejudice table that directly compares common criticisms against both proprietary and open source AI models.
Oh, yeah, that's a great part of the article.
It's like a head-to-head matchup of perceptions versus reality.
Exactly. It exposes a lot of the double standards and fears that are out there, especially when it comes to open source.
Okay, well, we are going to have to take a quick break before we jump into that head-to-head. But we'll be back soon to break down this prejudice table and really get into some of those misconceptions surrounding open source AI.
This prejudice table, it's really eye-opening how it just kind of puts all the criticisms out there side by side. You can see the double standards and all the fear around open source, especially when it comes from China.
It's like we're looking in a mirror,
Right.
seeing our own biases reflected back at us. But
Exactly.
one thing that really struck me was, with proprietary models, we often don't even know the source of their training data,
Right.
but we just accept that as like a trade secret.
It's like their secret recipe.
Exactly. But then when it's an open source model, especially one from China, suddenly everyone's suspicious about where that data came from.
Yeah, the article points that out as a major double standard. There's a lack of transparency on both sides, but the reaction is totally different.
It's like we automatically assume the worst when it comes to China, even if we don't have any proof.
Yeah, and a lot of it is fueled by those geopolitical tensions and just general mistrust.
And this bias, even spills over into the discussion about bias in the models themselves.
Yeah, how so?
Well, the article says that proprietary models often trained on data from mostly Western sources can end up with certain biases.
Right.
But then open source models from China are accused of pushing Chinese ideology and propaganda. Isn't that a bit of a generalization?
The article argues that cultural bias is just a problem with all large language models.
Okay.
Yeah. Every model will reflect the biases in the data it was trained on. The question isn't if there's bias, but what kind of bias it is and how to deal with it.
So it's not about saying one type of bias is worse than another.
Right. The article even says that just assuming Chinese bias is worse than Western bias is kind of biased in itself.
Yeah, it's like we're applying different standards depending on where the model comes from.
Exactly.
And this double standard even applies to data privacy, too.
How so?
Well, the article points out that when we use cloud-based AI like ChatGPT, our data is usually processed and stored on servers in the U.S.
Right.
And that brings up concerns about GDPR and data security. But then there's this fear that using open source models, even locally, will somehow send our data back to China.
Yeah, and that fear is often totally baseless, especially when you're running the model locally on your own device.
Right.
Local use means you have complete control over your data. It never leaves your device. Mm. It's a clear advantage of open source that often gets overlooked.
It seems like a lot of these fears are based on misinformation or just not understanding how the technology actually works.
That's a big part of it.
Okay, let's talk about the elephant in the room, government access to AI systems. Well, the article acknowledges that this is a legitimate concern for both open source and proprietary models.
Definitely. It talks about how the Cloud Act in the U.S. allows authorities to access data from U.S. companies, even if those servers are in Europe. And then there's China's national security law, which basically forces organizations to help with state security.
So both countries have laws that could give their governments access to AI and data.
That's right. The article's point is that we need to be aware of these risks on both sides and not just focus on one country or the other.
So it's about being objective and not letting our own biases cloud our judgment.
Exactly.
But it's interesting that the article also suggests that the decentralized nature of open source might actually make it tougher for governments to control.
Yeah, because the code is freely available and people can run it locally.
Right.
It's harder for any one government to control all the different instances of the model. With proprietary cloud services, everything is centralized, so it's potentially easier for a government to step in.
It's kind of ironic, isn't it? This idea that open source is more vulnerable when it might actually be the opposite.
It is, and it highlights how important it is to look past the surface and really understand the nuances of how these systems work.
Now, the article also brings up this idea that some of the criticism aimed at open source AI, especially models from China, might be driven by economics and geopolitics.
Right. It's not just about the technology itself. There are other factors at play.
So what do you make of that?
Well, the article suggests that some of the negativity might be coming from those who want to protect the big players in the AI market, which are mainly these large U.S. companies.
Because open source could disrupt their dominance.
Exactly. Open source makes AI more accessible to everyone.
Right.
Smaller companies, researchers, even individuals. And that increased competition could threaten the profits of the big companies.
So is it possible that some of the fear-mongering around open source is actually a tactic to stifle competition?
The article definitely raises that possibility. And it also points out that the whole China bashing we see so often plays into the existing tensions between the U.S. and China.
It's like using fear and nationalism to win the AI race.
Exactly.
But let's not get lost in all the negativity.
Okay.
The article also highlights a ton of amazing benefits of open source AI.
It does.
Like transparency, auditability, enhanced security through community review, customization flexibility, local use, data sovereignty, cost savings, fostering innovation and competition independence from single vendors, community support, long-term availability.
Wow, that's quite a list.
I know, right? It's pretty exciting stuff.
It really showcases how open source offers a fundamentally different way of approaching AI development.
Okay, so even with all these benefits, some listeners might be thinking, this sounds great, but how do I actually get started with open source AI?
Right. It can seem daunting at first.
Yeah.
But the good news is the article offers some really practical advice for anyone who wants to dive in.
Oh, perfect. What are some of the key takeaways?
Well, the first thing is do your research.
Okay.
Before you commit to any specific project, learn as much as you can about the developers, the community, the security track record, the overall goals. It's like reading reviews before you buy something important. You want to make sure it's reputable and trustworthy.
So due diligence is essential.
Exactly. And just like you wouldn't sign a contract without reading it carefully, you need to understand the license that comes with the open source model.
Okay.
Know your rights, any limitations, any obligations you might have. Open source licenses can vary, so you need to choose one that fits your needs.
So know the rules of the game before you start playing.
Yeah.
What about the community aspect of open source? How important is that?
The community is huge. A strong, active community is a really good sign that a project is healthy. Look for projects with a lot of active developers, people who are responsive to questions and bugs, and where there's a good culture of collaboration.
Because you're not alone in the open source world.
Right. You have this whole network of people to support you.
Now, even though it's open source, the article emphasizes that you still need to take security seriously.
Absolutely.
So what are some things people can do to stay safe?
Don't just assume that because it's open source, it's automatically secure.
Right.
Do your own security checks, use security scanning tools, and keep up with any reports about vulnerabilities. Mm-hmm. Be proactive about your security.
Okay, so vigilance is key. What about data privacy? Any advice there?
If data privacy is a top concern for you, remember that open source allows you to use the model locally. Set up a secure infrastructure that keeps your data under your control.
Keep it close to home.
Exactly. And if you want to get more involved in the open source community, don't be afraid to jump in. Participate in discussions, share your experiences, ask questions, report bugs, even contribute to the development if you have the skills.
It's a two-way street, right?
Yeah.
You benefit from the community and you can contribute back to it.
Exactly. And because the open source world is constantly changing, it's super important to stay informed.
So how can people stay up to date with all the latest developments?
Follow blogs, forums, social media groups dedicated to open source AI. Stay curious. Keep learning and exploring. That's how you stay ahead of the curve.
So it's all about embracing the dynamic nature of open source and constantly seeking out new knowledge.
Exactly.
But let's be real. Open source AI isn't all sunshine and roses.
Right. There are challenges too, and the article doesn't shy away from those.
Okay. Well, let's dive into those challenges and talk about what the future holds for open source AI in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay. So we've talked a lot about the good stuff, you know, the potential benefits and all the hype around open source AI. But now it's time to get real about the challenges.
Right. Because every technology has its downsides.
Exactly. And the article does a good job of laying those out.
Okay. So let's hear it. What are some of the big challenges with open source AI?
Well, one of the main ones is the complexity. It's not as simple as just downloading a program and clicking install.
Okay, yeah.
You need to understand the tech, be able to work with the code, and be ready to interact with the community.
So it's not exactly plug and play?
Right, you need to be more hands-on. And that can be tough for people or companies that don't have those technical resources or expertise.
So it's about knowing your limits and maybe getting help from experts if you need it.
Exactly. Another challenge is support. Unlike with proprietary software where you can just call a help desk with open source, you're often relying on the community for support.
And that can be a bit unpredictable.
But it can.
Hmm.
Sometimes you get great help really quickly, but sometimes you might have to wait a while for an answer.
And for some people, that could be a deal breaker.
Yeah, especially if they need that guaranteed immediate support.
Okay, so community is important, but it's not always a perfect solution.
Right. And then there's the issue of fragmentation.
Fragmentation.
Yeah, with so many different open source projects and models popping up, it can be hard to choose the right one.
I can see that.
And then you run into compatibility problems where different pieces don't work well together.
So it's like navigating a jungle.
It can feel that way sometimes. But that's also part of what makes open source so exciting. You know, there's so much room for experimentation and innovation.
So it's a trade-off.
Yeah.
You have freedom and variety, but it comes with complexity and uncertainty.
Exactly. That's why it's important to go into it with open eyes, knowing both the good and the bad.
And remember, open source AI is still relatively new.
That's a good point.
As it matures, a lot of these challenges will probably get sorted out.
I think so.
So we just need a little patience.
Yeah. And in the meantime, what's really important is to remember that open source is all about collaboration and community.
It's about giving back as much as you take.
Exactly. If you're using open source AI, think about how you can contribute back, whether it's coding, reporting bugs, improving documentation, or just sharing your knowledge with others. Every little bit helps.
It's about creating a better open source ecosystem for everyone.
Right.
And I think this article really reminds us that open source is more than just a different type of technology. It's a whole different mindset.
It's about transparency and working together.
It's about democratizing AI and making it a force for good.
Absolutely. And for anyone who wants to learn more about open source AI or how to use AI in their business, the article mentions a resource called kinews24-academy.de.
So there are resources out there for people who want to get started.
Definitely. Whether you choose open source or proprietary, the important thing is to stay informed, think critically, and make the choice that's right for you.
Be an active participant in the AI revolution, not just a bystander.
Exactly.
Well, this deep dive has certainly given us a lot to think about.
It has. I hope our listeners feel empowered to explore the world of AI and make it their own.
Thanks for joining us on the deep dive, and we'll see you next time for another fascinating exploration.